News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Texter earlier asking any idea what the heck is going on at Airport and Newman Road. And now we do, thanks to Mobile AL Traffic on X and Mobile Traffic on Facebook. Overturned vehicle, Airport at Newman. So it's an overturned vehicle. That's about all the information I have, although I understand the flashing lights have been there for quite some time. But according to our texter, that has caused some backup. So overturned vehicle at Airport and Newman, in addition to all the other accidents that Kane laid out for you there in his traffic update.
807, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. You were kind of discussing here with Quinn as we about to have Quinn Hillier live on the air with us. Some of the goings on in Pritchard right now, which are numerous, obviously, they're notable, they're newsworthy, and they're kind of like messy. But you were talking about one thing in particular.
Yeah, and that's the data center. And news that we had this morning from, I think it was NBC 15. I think it was actually Ella Snapp, who's on the broadcast with you on Friday nights.
She is.
No, she had the Fairhope Water Tower story. The Pritchard Data Center came from Andrea Ramey at NBC 15. And a proposed $93 million edged data center in Pritchard, Edged is the name of the company, faces a new obstacle. The city council has moved to invalidate its building permit. Not only that, they're going to refund $224,000 in application fees that I guess have already been put forward by this company. Council members say that the permit was issued at the end of July without the required planning commission review. Well, that was just days before the city adopted a six-month moratorium on new data centers. So the question now is, with this news from the council and them yanking the building permit, is it subject to that six-month moratorium if they want to move forward, or could it still be grandfathered in? That's a big question because it could have major financial consequences. Mayor Carletta Davis's proposed budget for this coming fiscal year anticipates a 46% increase in sales tax collections that largely come from that one project, and along with approximately $90,000 in annual property tax revenue. Now, the budget is a big deal in many ways, more ways than one, because right now the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, while Pritchard PD has been going through all of its legal issues and on the sidelines, more or less, in Pritchard, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office has taken over policing.
Well, that's
They can't do it forever. That's only till the end of this week, at least for all but homicides and other major crimes. The sheriff's office will still cover those. But for the rest of the policing, Sheriff Birch says we can't do this forever at this cost, and you need to come up with some kind of plan or contract, and then we can figure things out. So if that data center makes up so much of their budget, and the budget already didn't have enough money in it to pay the sheriff's office to police the city, and much less rebuild the Pritchard PD at the same time, then they're in quite a rock and a hard place, right, for the city there.
And Quinn, before we get to you, let me ask you real quick, Dalton. You talked about some planning commission. They didn't run it by a planning commission. What planning commission? A municipal, like a Pritchard? Does Pritchard have a planning commission?
I'm sure they have to, right? I mean, they're a city, they're a municipality. You would think they have a planning commission. And they said that it wasn't ran by the planning commission, so I would assume they have one. But I'm not really sure. I do know that there was quite a bit of pushback on this data center. And since then, we've talked about their financial issues and how much of a help this would be. Quinn is on the line with us this morning. Hey, good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. What a mess. An absolute mess. Look, 25 years ago, I took a big interest in Pritchard. I did a three-part series for the Mobile Register when I was there called The Promise and or the Perils and Promise of Pritchard, and outlined just all the things that they had to draw on, all the strengths that they had if they would only use them right. The most of which is vast amounts of unused land, and Ron Davis got elected mayor. Pritchard was in bankruptcy, literally in municipal bankruptcy, And I had suggested several things that they could do, and Davis did some of them and got them out of bankruptcy. And then he sort of wore out his welcome, I guess, after two terms away, mayors sometimes do, although he had at least done the good job of getting them out of bankruptcy. And they just, they've gone through this cycle of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten to the point, because they are in debt, because they can't pay their police or whatever, because their municipal water system is one of the worst in the country, it's gotten to be where it's almost impossible to see how they pull out of it by themselves.
Yeah.
And look, I have been an advocate, and in fact, I'm on the board of Pritchard Prep School, which is a wonderful school that's sort of on the edge of Pritchard, and of course, we've talked about that before and all the wonderful things it does. So that gives me an even added interest in Pritchard that I didn't have when I wrote about it 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All of which is to say, I'm starting to think that the state or the county needs to take over. Maybe Pritchard, I've fought this for years, the idea that Pritchard should disincorporate or deincorporate, but maybe they should, because it is such a mess right there. I don't know that Pritchard itself has the resources in the short or medium term to crawl out of it.
One person that is, I wouldn't say he is, somebody that we had his quotes from the other day.
An NBC 15 story, and then former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prime was on with Jeff Poore yesterday.
Right, and he said he's not reluctant. He would not be reluctant to become, at least from the police side of this thing. Pritchard's got so many concerns that we could catalog, but as far as the police department, he says there is a way for that to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear all of his comments on Jeff's show, but I'm wondering, you know, why would you have that sort of positivity about it?
Okay, so I've got very mixed feelings about Paul Prime, but he might be the answer for their police force. In fact, he might even be the answer if he would actually move back there and, you know, maybe think about running for mayor or something like that. I've got very mixed feelings about him. He definitely caused problems when he was police chief in Mobile in terms of chain of command, in terms of temperament, in terms of use of force, excessive use of force. On the other hand, he did seem to be pretty darn good at law and order,
mm-hmm.
and pretty darn good at administration, from what I could tell. And, you know, some people don't fit one place because of their character flaws or ability flaws or whatever, but they might fit really well another place. Well, as a guy who knocks heads together, he could get in there and maybe figure out a way to get the police force really working.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying it's working badly other than that they can't afford it, but,
well,
you know, sometimes you get in somebody who has administrative ability, who has experience, and who's sort of a take-no-prisoners guy, and he can inspire not just the force that he's taking over, but start to do, you know, get into the other stuff that the city must do, maybe even just inspiring a can-do attitude. I would think they really ought to look very, very hard at hiring him, despite some of the flaws that I've seen in him. He could be a big, big help.
Well, I think so. And I think it is fair to say, Quinn, that the Pritchard PD is much worse off than just their financial issues. I mean, you look at the criminal allegations, the charges,
yes,
that have been brought, and then the evidence room, which Sheriff Birch has continued to say is one of the worst things he has ever seen in his years of law enforcement. And I think that former Chief Prine, that his appearance yesterday on the Jeff Poore show, I really enjoyed it, because he was talking about some actionable planning to get this back in order, not just like, oh, I'll show up and everything will be all right. But I think you said
it'd be a process.
A 12-month to 2-year plan that gets put in place. I know he said three qualities that he considers essential for whoever's the next chief of the Pritchard Police Force: strong communication skills and relationship building skills, a strategic vision and decisive leadership. He's very decisive, we know that. And then exceptional integrity and ethical leadership, which right now for Pritchard PD may be the most important of those three qualities that he laid out there. And I've seen, you know, right now Pritchard is doing a nationwide search for the next chief. And I saw a lot of commentary on that online on social media. And I don't know how many of these people discussing it are actually residents of Pritchard, but there was a lot of pushback on bringing someone else in from somewhere else, saying that they just wouldn't understand how things are done here, or they wouldn't be able to ingrain themselves in the community, which I kind of would push back against that too and say, well, what you've been doing hasn't worked anyway, so why not try something?
Yeah.
But Prine is kind of, to me, and we noted this months ago, he would be, I think, a really good fit for that, especially if he's willing to undertake it. That's the thing. Finding the right person is one thing, but finding the right person who's willing to throw themselves into this terrible situation is another.
Yeah, I think it's almost a slam dunk good idea. I mean, again, you know, maybe you hire him with guardrails and say, you know, pledge to put in guardrails so you don't have excessive use of force, because that got you in trouble last time when you were in Mobile. But basically, this guy does have talent, and Pritchard needs talent. He knows law enforcement. I think they should hire him. I really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't even reached out to him. I mean, this has all been speculation on his side. The sit down with NBC 15, the conversation with Jeff Poore, they haven't made the first move. We should note
they
that.
They need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but I go back to all the other problems Pritchard has. Look, you start to fix the police force, you start to get a can-do attitude. There, you know, you can dig up my columns from 25 years ago, but I'm really starting to think that they've dug themselves in such a hole municipally and in terms of infrastructure that they might want to disincorporate whatever the right word is there. Decorporate. I don't know what the right word is, but there's a massive problem, and it's a problem that doesn't just affect Pritchard because, you know, I mean, these are our neighbors. This is our community, and we should care about this.
And from the outside looking in, you know, I almost feel like this could be, you know, misconstrued as like a let them eat cake moment for Pritchard. But with this data center in a place that is starved for revenue, to just completely say we're out, you know, on this data center when it could bring in some money in a place that's already been industrialized to some extent, doesn't make much sense to me. But that's kind of the power of the community, right? You get enough people that are saying, listen, I'm not too sure about these data centers. Let's just keep them away for now. Well, that's a lot of money you're saying no to now when you need money.
Well, yeah, look, I've got some skepticisms about data centers. In fact, I hate AI in general. I mean, I just absolutely viscerally despise it. But if there's ever a place for a data center, it's a place that is really suffering economically, but that has lots of land that is not necessarily ecologically sensitive, because it's not. I mean, it's not really in a marshland or something like that. I think it's about as close to a perfect place for a data center as you can find. And so, again, it's money right there, and they don't seem to recognize that they need new leadership, or they need to start petitioning the county or the state to take them over.
Quinn, I got to say this though, for you to say that you despise AI, that would be akin to someone saying, I despise every morning when that sun comes up, because the AI is as It says here as it's going to be, and it's only going to keep on.
No. I'm going to stick my head in the sand and say, no, it's not coming. It's not coming. It's not
coming. You may do that. It's 821 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings and FM Talk 106.5. This is just to remind you, it's September the 1st, and that Dalton and I really like this song.
Yeah, it's almost fall. September 22nd.
Yeah, it doesn't feel anything like fall, does it? 825 Quinn Hill, you're back with us. And
general elections coming up.
You talked about certain races that you've got an eye on.
Yeah, I believe we've moved through all of the primaries. We should have at this point, or close to it. And Republicans, new RCP, Real Clear Politics. Now, they aggregate polling. So it's not just one poll. They take them all and put them together and then show you what they've got. And we've seen some really bad polling here over the last few months in these primaries.
Awful. Michigan, Wisconsin, incredibly bad.
Yeah, but what RCP's aggregate is showing, Republicans trailing in 8 of the major battleground Senate races. And here we are 2 months out from the general election. Already, the GOP seen as, you know, they're going to have to really fight just to keep control of the House. But the Senate now looking very shaky as well. What do you make of this general election coming up just 2 months and 2 days from now, Quinn?
Well, I love that song from Earth, Wind, and Fire that you were just playing. I love that song. And unfortunately, Republicans are crashing back to earth, crashing down to earth. The wind is against them, and
they're on fire.
Yes, exactly. look, bad candidates. I mean, really, really bad candidates in some places. When they have good candidates, they're getting pulled down by a president who needs to stop trying to rename lakes, stop trying to rename arts, performing arts centers, stop tweeting about how angry he is about normal journalistic questions and trying to get reporters fired, and start actually paying attention to his job, because the public, his poll numbers are in the tank, and they're dragging down the rest of the party. I mean, this Michigan race should be an absolute slam dunk for a really solid guy, Rogers. That's one of the really good candidates Republicans have.
And it's a bad candidate for the Democrats.
And a horrible candidate for the Democrats, and yet Rogers is not out of the woods. South Carolina, look, we've talked about this. If he wanted to do Lindsey Graham's sister for 6 months, okay. He should never have encouraged her to be the general election candidate. If he goes in and he endorses Trey Gowdy and talks Trey Gowdy into the race, Trey Gowdy wins the nomination and he wins the general election going away. You know what? Darlene Graham might actually lose. The Democrat is a very attractive young lady who makes a very good impression, and Republicans should easily win South Carolina. Instead, Darlene Graham is going to have a really hard time holding that.
Wow.
It is really wind and fire both against them.
I agree in a sense, a small sense, about what you were saying about the president and his involvement. You know, some of these things that he does obviously can certainly be annoying. But I think for many people, more annoying when the economy seems to be having some issues and this Iran war won't end. But, you know, he needs to do a better job of letting people know what's going well. I talked about the pharmaceutical industry and prices coming down there. Look at what's happened at the border with crime across the country. You know, if somehow he gets gas prices down and inflation follows with those gas prices and people are feeling a little better in their wallets and purses, then things would be a lot easier for the Republicans going into November.
Well, exactly, and that's why I say, why is he wasting his time breaking the law, by the way, to try to change the name of Lake Ontario, which is set by law by Congress in a treaty signed by George Washington? That's not something you can change by executive order. You can't change an actual law. He needs to focus on his real job and stop all this foolishness.
Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, and NOLA. You can find his articles there and his thoughts. And thanks, Quinn. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot.
Also, you can find him at the Dome here. Saints about to open up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to ride the Amtrak again to those home games. Huh? We'll have to find out.
We're all dying to know.
I got to know. 8:30. More coming up on Mobile Mornings, including your chance to win tickets to G&D Farms Outdoor Expo.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
8:34. 8:35 now on Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday morning, 1st of September, and time to check in with Sage Klingen over at Capital Tractor in Tillman's Corner, the newest location of Capital Tractor. Sage, good morning, man.
Hey, good morning, Dalton. How are y'all doing?
We are doing just fine, heading into new seasons, and that's always a big deal at Capital Tractor, and you've got the equipment, the implements for whatever anyone needs out there, but let's talk about some construction and some options you have for those that are looking to get some of that done.
Yeah, man, new for this month, starting today, actually, construction side, all of our excavators and track loaders, we've kind of got the what people have been asking for. So we got 0 for 48 and 0% interest for 60 months.
Nice.
And so, like I said, that's going to be on the U-Series and KX-Series of excavators and our SVLs. And, we're excited to show people some construction equipment and also get that 0 for 60.
Yeah, and that's a great financing option right there. I mean, 0%, obviously can't beat that. And also, I know we're kind of heading towards the end of mowing season in a way, you've got some mowers out there too and a great selection.
Yeah, man, we do. We still got plenty of them out here, everything from our kind of small residential mowers, 42-inch cut, all the way up to our largest diesel, ZD1611, for really trying to tackle those larger properties you have. So we got plenty of options and be happy to talk to them with anybody comes by.
And while, you know, I've been to your newest location there on Fellowship Drive in Tillman's Corner, so I don't know why you would ever really want to leave, but the last time we saw you guys out and about was at the Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Of course, you had a great presence there. And then another event coming up where people can meet you and talk about the equipment at Capital Tractor, and that's at the G&D Farms Expo, the Outdoor and Wildlife Expo, coming up next weekend. You guys will be there.
Yeah, man, we'll be there, and always look forward to that event. It's a great time, very good people who put that on, and so that'll be September 11th through 13th, coming up next weekend, and so we'll be there. If everybody gets a break from dove hunting and wants to come by and say, hey, come on by, and we'd be happy to talk tractors and construction equipment, anything there.
Yeah, and we'll be out there as well, and looking forward to seeing you again there. So really appreciate your time this morning, Sage, and looking forward to talking again.
Yeah, man, I also wanted to mention, too, got our friends over at C4 Cattle. They're having their Ruckin ride on that Saturday, October 10th. So put that on your calendar and look forward to seeing everybody out there, too.
Yeah, good stuff. We love them as well. Appreciate your time, Sage, and hopefully folks come out today or as soon as they can to see you at that newest location of Capital Tractor, Tillman's Corner, right there by the Veterans Hospital on Fellowship Drive. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate y'all, Dalton.
All right, there you go. Sage Klingen, he is with Capital Tractor. The address, if you're punching it into your maps, 4894 Fellowship Drive in Mobile, but that newest location in Tillman's Corner, you can see it from the interstate, and it is really great. And while we're here and talking about the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo, which is coming up next weekend, how about a family four-pack of tickets that'll get you in all weekend long, September 11th through 13th, for the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo? A family four-pack going to caller number 4 right now at 251-343-0106. Caller number 4, this family four-pack for you for the G&D Farms Expo that will be at the grounds in Mobile September 11th through 13th. As you heard Sage there, Capital Tractor will be on hand, and so will FM Talk 106.5. And Sean, I believe, broadcasting from the G&D Farms Expo for Midday Mobile and maybe the outdoor show as well. I should probably know that at this point. But we're going to have a presence, and looking forward to seeing you out there. Caller number 4, and we'll continue to give these tickets away leading up to the event next week.
Some news about two different economies have come out of the Trump administration recently, Dalton. I just want to get your thought on this and maybe on the text line as well, 251-343-0106. The Venezuelan oil deal, which Trump's saying is a big win, To win for the people of Venezuela as well, the administration is saying. He announced this on Truth Social on Friday, the biggest oil deal in world history. Okay, so how is this going to benefit us? It doesn't seem like it is going to benefit us much in the short term. Eventually, in the long run, I guess it can't help but benefit us. But in the short term, I don't. It's kind of like one of those things that's a press release to, I mean, the Venezuelan thing happened. When did that whole takeover happen? A year ago?
No. Well, that's a good question.
Been a while.
It was earlier this year for sure. And did you see the new improved image of Maduro? Well, I don't know if
yeah,
it was improved. He's lost some weight.
He's lost some weight. He's looking good.
He's looking good.
Maybe he's on that.
On the fat shot, as Trump calls it.
Uh-huh.
He might be. But, I've heard that because it would take so long to kind of rebuild that infrastructure in Venezuela and that it would be more of a long-term thing to get that in line. But seems like the companies are ready to go. They're ready to jump in and get to work. I saw this. Hopefully I can play this really quickly because this came across this morning. And you had the vice president himself, J.D. Vance. I believe he was, let's see here. This might be Burgum and Vance or just Burgum. But here's what they had to say about this Venezuela deal.
Okay.
And action. Let's see here. Maybe it will not work. Let's get this going here. And action now. Let's try this again. All right, here's Burgum.
Small, mid-size, and large refiners all coming to the White House to meet with President Trump tomorrow because some of this has to do with supply chains. The waiver on the Jones Act has lowered the prices of gasoline in the Northeast. There's a series of other red tape and regulations that have been added. In some states, literally like California, designed to choke out refining of hydrocarbons in America. And of course, the world depends on those. Our industries depend on them. Agriculture depends on them. National security depends on them. And so getting back to a policy where we're actually supporting refiners as opposed to try to run them out of business is a good place to start.
And this comes just days after the U.S. and Venezuela agreed to a historic oil deal, granting the U.S. a stake in 65 billion barrels of Venezuelan crude across 17 fields. Vice President J.D. Vance weighing in yesterday on what the deal is already yielding.
We're actually already seeing significant increase in oil production out of Venezuela, which is one of the reasons why, despite a lot of people predicting that oil prices would go to $200 a barrel, they're obviously higher than they were a few months ago, but they're sort of much more stable in part because of what we see coming out of Venezuela. We are going to see significant increase in production. The 65 billion barrel reserve is a big part of that, but I think it's a mistake to say when will we see increased production because we're already seeing increased production already.
And today's national average for a gallon of regular.
So he's, and she was going to say 409, the national average for a gallon of gas there. But he's saying it's already yielding results and that people that are saying, oh, this is all long term, it'll take forever to get it going, are partly incorrect. But really, I mean, the most pressing issue to get the prices down is obviously the war in Iran and figuring out how to get the Strait moving like it once was before. And despite, you know, all the rhetoric on both sides, it does seem like things are getting better on that front. It's not perfect, obviously, and it's nowhere close right now to where it was pre-war, but that would be the most immediate fix.
I'm looking at these headlines from the New York Times covering this story because I was wondering, is this story only being covered by Newsmax and Fox? You know, but it's a big enough story. It is being covered, but in their own way. Trump's Venezuelan oil deal relies on a powerful and divisive partner. Also from the Times, how the Pentagon is getting into the Venezuelan oil business under Trump. So I'd like to read those articles. I don't have the subscription.
Mm.
And then tying it into it is this new narrative that Iran is about to completely fall on top of itself and fail, and economically and inflation and everything is at such a point. And again, Trump talking about 300% inflation. Reuters reporting closer to, it's not good, but 68.9% in 2026 inflation in Iran. So you have a lot of unrest with the citizens of Iran, and even with the fractured power structure that it's going to collapse on itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hope, I guess. And that's, again, these are things that I don't completely understand. But are they indicators that Iran could fall.
Yeah, I mean, the Trump administration
couldn't have him soon enough.
Pretty sure that it's on the way, and that's a big discussion this week with the G20 as well. And Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, he seems to be taking the lead in this week's G20 meeting here in America this time. I think it's in one of the Carolinas, maybe, or
the Carolina. And Bessent met with the Russian finance minister, which I thought was interesting.
But his part of his plan this week is to get everyone on board with basically strangling Iran economically,
right,
and finishing the job.
So is it narrative or these facts? This is the way it's going to happen. This is what we can do. Here's the way it's going to work. Or is this a desperate administration trying to extract some good news any way they can?
I think a little bit of both. Yeah. I think they are desperate because they're on a very short timeline. I mean, people are already voting in the general election right now. And with gas prices the way they are, that is going to affect votes one way or the other. And they're doing their damnedest, to try to get those prices down as quickly as possible by whatever means. And sometimes they take shortcuts, which are worse for the long term in America.
You know, the cattlemen upset. There's the shortcut with beef prices right there.
Importing the Argentine beef.
Importing it, right. And that's got a lot of the U.S. cattlemen, to a person, very upset with the administration.
They do. But again, today, and Burgum mentioned it in that clip, but Trump set to meet with refiners, fuel distributors today. They might be meeting right now for all we know. He's going to ask them to expand their refining capacity and lower gas prices.
Yeah.
We'll see if that pays off anytime soon.
Okay. 8:46, special guest on the way.
Yeah, Dr. Luke Ingerizer with AltaPoint set to join us as we talk about veterans and mental health here on the way, right here on Mobile Mornings.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
850 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We are the station of the veterans, that's for sure. And we try to support them in every way.
Yeah, we sure do. And have a lot of veterans that listen to us and really appreciate their service. And so often in Mobile, it continues after their military career, quote-unquote, ends. They come back to Mobile and help in the entire community with others that are going through some of the same situations they did. And to talk about some of these issues with us right now is Dr. Luke Ingerizer with AltaPoint. And we'll be talking about veterans and their health and mental health. And it's kind of been a theme here this summer with AltaPoint. Dr. Ingerizer, thank you so much for coming in with us.
Thanks so much for having me this morning.
Talk about the services that you are more than anxious to provide veterans.
Yeah, veterans are really have a lot of unique issues. And, you know, one of the things being a veteran and having worked with a lot of veterans that I really think people should understand is that military culture is so unique. And what veterans have gone through in their military service is sometimes really hard for civilians to understand.
Sure.
And, you know, I think a common thing that I see with veterans often is that when they were in the military serving, they felt an incredible sense of purpose, that sense of mission, that being part of a team. And when they leave the military, there can be a real, really miss that central kind of meaning in their life.
Yeah, and you mentioned just one of those. You mentioned being part of a team, like a sense of belonging when they're with that team, and that family, that camaraderie really built up over some very hard work that they all did together or some really bad circumstances they were all in together.
Yeah.
I imagine for so many, when they come back to everyday American life, it's just a massive shock.
It really is. And I felt that in a little way when I left the military, you know, when you're at your worst moment in the military, everybody is there, fully present, selfless. They're just doing what needs to be done, and that it can be missing sometimes in civilian life.
That's a lot to miss.
It really is. And you think about what people come back to, and you know, culture wars, and everybody kind of tearing each other apart. It's a very different feeling from what you get in the military, being part of that team.
With the wars that America's been involved in since 2000. Let's just start there. Don't have to go further back, although we could. Suicide among veterans has been a major topic for decades now, and you know the numbers, they've been out there for a while. Is Is that still as big an issue now as it has been?
It is, and suicide rates among veterans have been tragically high for the last, 20, 25 years. For male veterans, about 1.5 times the civilian rate, and female veterans, even more extreme, 2.5 times that of civilian women. So, there's a lot of reasons for that. I think one thing that's really unique about our deployments the past 25 years is the idea of repeated deployments. So back in, World War I, World War II, when you were deployed, you went to war until it was over and you came back. Even our Vietnam era veterans, they would go for their, their tour, and they came back and they were not going to get redeployed. And that's something completely different with Iraq and Afghanistan, where veterans went on deployment, they came home, and a year or two later, they may be deployed again. And the type of chaos that kind of gave to families.
That includes National Guard.
Absolutely.
The people who are by our side every day, or often suddenly they're not even enlisted all the way into the military, but they pay the price too.
They do. And when I was at Fort Benning, we supported National Guard troops from Alabama, actually, at Fort Benning. And you're right, for them, they didn't even come back to military life. They came back completely to civilian life, and that's just can be so disruptive.
Yep. And we're talking with Dr. Luke Ingreiser with AltaPoint Health. How does AltaPoint help veterans? How are you helping right now?
We have a very rich continuum of care, so outpatient services, inpatient services, substance use disorders services, specific veterans outreach programs. The place where I work every day is our Behavioral Health Crisis Center, which is a 24-hour walk-in crisis center. So anybody that's going through a mental health crisis, including veterans having suicidal thoughts, you can come to the crisis center, immediately get assessed and get care.
How do you identify veterans that need the help?
Yeah, we always ask that. That's one of our standard immediate questions when somebody calls for help. Are they a veteran? Hmm. And we try to get them connected with a specific veteran services whenever we can. Yeah, and if we don't have those services, if you call for help, we will get you connected with the services that you need.
And so often, veterans, they're tough. Obviously, many can be withdrawn, and I imagine that makes it difficult sometimes to diagnose, and even further to actually help. AltaPoint, is that maybe gotten good at that over the years?
Yeah, and it helps that we have a lot of veterans that work within our organization.
We've spoken
I mean, many. And, one of the things that can be very difficult for veterans reaching out is just feeling like a civilian's never going to understand what they went through, or what combat is like, or even what military life is like. And being able to talk with a veteran that has some idea of some of the things that they may have gone through can be so helpful.
Sounds like it's essential.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And also, our listeners, they're always ready to help, whether they're veterans themselves or not. How do you feel that the community can help?
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the hardest things that this past 25 years is that our news cycle goes so fast. And we had military actively fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, and people forgot that we were even at war. We're now in a third Mideast war in Iran, and people forget about it. It's not even on the front pages anymore. So I think one of the things that I would really tell people is don't forget that we have military right now fighting for us, fighting for our freedom, giving their lives, often their health, their mental health, to really protect us. So just always try to remember that. Remember that every day.
I've gone to the page, Dalton, altapoint.org. And then the tab for veteran services.
That's okay. Listed right there on the website. For someone who has themselves, they'd like to learn more, or they have family and friends they feel this could be beneficial for, Dr. Luke, how do you propose they get in touch?
We have one intake number. It's 251-450-2211. So again, 251-450-2211. Just call that number, ask, talk about what you need, and they'll get you directed to the right service.
One of the many veterans himself on staff at AltaPoint, so they're more than likely going to really have a clear idea of what you're talking about and what you're going through, and I think that probably can make the difference. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for visiting with us taking the time to talk with us about
this
essential situation.
Yeah, thanks so much for having
me.
Dr. Luke Ingreiser with AltaPoint Health. Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show. It's on the way next. And in hour number one, he'll have Sam Roberts with the Coleman Daily joining him. Hour number two, Paul DeMarco, a columnist, set to join Jeff for his usual hit. And then Will Hampson with P2 Public Affairs. I'm sure they'll be talking about these midterm elections that are coming up and how things are looking in polling and beyond. 8:58, that does it for Mobile Mornings. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show on the way.